Podcast beloved. I've never started an episode by saying podcast beloved. I come to you with a melancholy tone because today's topic is indeed melancholic. We are going to bathe in the colic, in the melancholic. We're going to get drunk in sadness today. Does that sound very appealing to you? Are you like, yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait. Why? Why are we scared of sadness? Why don't we like talking about it? Why don't we like talking about like the dark shit? Like why does it have to be upbeat? Why can't you be happy talking about dark shit? Has anyone ever asked you that? Why can't you be content talking about things that are rather dark? Because if you can't, it just proves they're not really in touch with reality, because reality isn't all roses. So if you wanted things to always be happy and shit, you're like wanting a fake world. So why can't you just make peace with brokenness, and sadness, and loss? Why do you gotta brush it under the rug and get going on the next thing? Why are you not okay with sitting in it? How come nobody's asked you that before? How come I gotta ask you that? I'm just pouring my mate. I'm waiting for you to say something. Welcome to the Justin DeGary podcast. Today's topic and today's episode comes from a response that went like this. How to process grief. And I so hope that the intro to this podcast episode made you feel a little uncomfortable. I really do. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're fine. But I hope that as you listen to this episode, that you take away something good. Because I think everyone has rushed out of grief way too early. I don't think we've grieved appropriately losses in our life. And I think that affects the joy you want to have. Yeah. Let's rewind that tape real quick. I think a lot of you haven't grieved appropriately the losses in your life. And I think that's affecting the joy you want to have. Yeah. So you get filled in with this joy, but the bottom of the bucket's got holes in it. And that's because it wasn't sealed properly. And that grievance that never occurred, that needed to happen, is affecting your current satisfaction levels throughout life. Deep waters today, huh? Your boy J.A. will take you there. I have no problem going there, guys. I love talking about dark shit because it's just my mode of being. Since I can remember, I've been content playing Legos at 7 years old by myself in the dark. Ask my mother. I'm okay with making beautiful things in darkness. I actually get more creative when things get dark. Girl breaks my heart. I will write the best fucking poetry. Whew! It's like, man, the wounds have a way of revealing the artist in us, don't they? I mean, go ask any good composer. Probably your favorite love song probably comes from a lot of brokenness in that man or woman. And you get to just rejoice in it because it sounds fun. But you'll never know the pain that someone had to go through to make that beautiful art. We live in a world just tickled and fancied by the next shiny object, don't we? And so when bad things happen, because we know they will, like, we know they will, as much as we want to think that they won't, we know that deep inside that they will. And when they do, it's just like, get on with it, bro. Get on with it. There's so many good things happening. Why are you going to sit there and dwell? And we have all these, you know, logical impulses that pop up in our mind when bad things happen. And it makes sense. I mean, why stay there? What if I told you that staying there was the answer? What if I told you that staying there was the joy? What if I told you that staying there and suffering through it was satisfaction and fulfillment, because you'll be sealing the bottom of that bucket so that when you do get out of it, you can actually experience proper, fulfilling, lasting happiness and satisfaction. But you move too quick. You don't grieve enough. You don't hold it in front of you long enough. This gets back to some of the other topics, if you heard them the past few days. I mean, this one is going to be more specific because we are speaking of grief in particular. I want to hone in on that word from the questionnaire. Let's get into it. Let's get into it, shall we? Hope this day finds you good. Hope you're in a comfortable position. Hope you're not too busy. If you're trying to beat your mile pace, probably wouldn't be the best episode. Maybe it would. I don't know. Depends how sick you are. I heard a quote today. You're as sick as your sickest secret. What do you think about that? You're as sick as your sickest secret. Depending on how you want to define sick and your sickest secret, most of you probably go sexual with it. There's a lot of things you can do with it. But you're as sick as your sickest secret. Yeah, just want to throw that in there. That was a nice little quote I heard today. You know, traditionally when we talk about grief, we talk about stages, you know? Just go to any, like, academic peer review or talk to any psychologist or, you know, we talk about grief, they're going to be like, well, we got the stages. We got the stages of grief, you know? It makes us feel better, and there is truth in it. But I don't think the heart really understands this as much as we do in language. I don't think the heart is like, okay, I'm in the anger phase right now. I'm moving over to bargaining. You know, I just think it's rather blurry, you know? And time does pass. But then again, what is time? That's a construct. I don't think the heart moves in these capacities and these understandings the way we do within language. I think it's way more just in its own reality and complex. But for the sake of academics and for the sake of your own brain and psychology, let's break grief up into its classical stages, shall we? So the first thing that happens, and here's something I want to say, disclaimer, and like kind of like, you know, setting this up. Grief can occur for a variety of things within your life, like, but something needs to spark it off, right? You're not just like, I'm grieving, like something happened, right? So if you can't name it, that's an issue, right? Because you need to do some digging. But it's to each their own what will cause grief, because what causes one man grief does not cause another man. What makes one girl grieve does not make another lady grieve, you know? And so it's purely subjective, and it's purely in the eye of the beholder in what they perceive of life happening and why they accept it as grief. There's things that you grieve that I would never grieve, right? So it's important to say that, like, it could be something that you think is so dumb, right? But usually it's like the death of a loved one, right? That's like another classical example of grieving. And then we move on too quick. But grieving can also happen within a relationship, a divorce, a breakup, dating, an animal that dies. Grieving can be sparked off because of the loss of a career, a job, a title, a profession. Grieving can be something from your childhood that you've done fairly well with, but there's an emptiness that's longing in your soul and you can't really name why. You need to go do the work as to why. Grieving could happen because you felt like your life got too successful and you don't know what to do with all this success, and there's a willowing sadness that's building up in your heart and you need to grieve all of the victories because you feel like you don't deserve them. Grieving is weird. And it's hard to say what constitutes proper grievance from a human. But I want to say that, right? Because I have no idea or business or knowledge of what you would need to grieve or what you haven't, right? But for the stages of grief, number one, usually when something happens, is denial, right? You've felt this. I've felt this. This doesn't apply for everybody. Some people never feel denial. But again, for the sake of stages and what therapists have done to break it up, we have denial. You really want to deny it. Meaning you get news someone died, you're like, there's no way. There's no way. Like the heart doesn't just get depressed, you know? is just like, it wants to not believe that it's true, because so much of life appears apparent and it's not, right? So much of life seems like it's a certain way and it isn't. So we want to believe that maybe this is made up. Maybe it's not real. Am I dreaming mentality, right? So there's a denial, but it doesn't last too long because you're faced with cold, hard facts. So the denial stage is rather easy to remove yourself from, and that's why it's number one. Some people last longer there. They hold on to it longer. Depending on what it was, denial will be over rather quickly. And the next thing that builds up after denial, you probably guessed it, is anger, right? This is when we clench our fists at the divine. We clench our fists at the gods, like humans all throughout the centuries have done before us. Why? What the fuck? And sometimes it's not even a god. It's a person, right? It's a person. Maybe we're mad at the actual person that we're grieving, right? This is common. Maybe we're mad at somebody that caused it. Maybe we're mad at the perpetrator. Maybe we're mad at ourselves. Maybe we're mad at life. Can't really name it. But there's an anger. And this is, to me, where people tap out. In the sense of, let's just go find something happy. You know, because why would I want to be feeling all this anger? You know, why would I want to be like sitting here too long? Like, we don't naturally want to stay in anger, right? We want to get out of it eventually. It's short-lived. It's passion. But it's like, all right, I got it out. Like, let's move on. And this is where people leave grievance. This is where they never grieve, because they always get out of anger. But anger comes after denial. What the fuck? Ah! Anger. After anger is bargaining, right? Maybe you don't know what the bargaining is. Maybe you haven't got there. But it's where we begin to blame, right? It's where we begin to say, well, if I would have done this, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Or maybe if I would have been here, or wouldn't have been there, or if they would have done this, if they could have done that, or if all this wouldn't have happened. And it's almost like a form of like trying to justify oneself, right? So you get out of anger and you're like, okay, well, let's get logical. The logical becomes very self-inflicting. It has to do with our own self-worth and our own belief about ourselves and others. And so it's like, why the fuck did this happen? Okay, but now what could we have done? And who's to blame? And why couldn't I do that? Or why didn't this happen? Or what was the reasoning behind it? And we're trying to, in the process, make ourselves feel better with the event that happened. You can stay there a very long time, and you'll have people who will form a narrative about what happened after the anger phase, and they'll just live on that narrative, like, for the rest of their life, and they'll die that way. And they would have never let go of what it was. They would have never accepted, and they would have never grieved properly. They would have just remained with a narrative that they created in falsehood that wasn't actually the truth, but it made them feel good. And again, they can move out of grievance and into their normal life. And when am I going to move on? I don't want to stay here. You think I want to feel this way for 3 months? You think I want to go here? Right? Bargaining. Number four. And another toughie, boys. Another toughie. Number four is depression. Yes, depression is a part of grievance. And a lot of times depression, you know, it's not the best word, right? Like, if you tell someone you're depressed, it's not exactly sexy. Like, why would I want to be depressed? But what if I told you that depression would be a healthy part of grieving and it's necessary, right? But we don't want to be depressed. And I'm not advocating for depression. But when something happens, if you don't sit in the sadness, as I was referring to earlier, how on earth are you supposed to bring it out of you and bring yourself to an acceptance place if you haven't sat in the sadness? How? I'm not talking about the depression that comes from measly things in the world. I'm talking about real pain and sorrow and being able to sit with it for as long as your soul needs to properly accept it, to properly make peace with it. And so something happens, you deny it. You go into anger. You go into bargaining. You have all these places you can tap out of that many people do. And the fourth stage is depression, where you arrive to a place where you're like, I accept what happened. I'm not in denial. I've gone through anger. I've tried to bargain my way and I know it's not true. I'm just going to fucking be sad about it. And this, my friends, is another area where people can remain in for a long time. And it's that quiet underneath sadness that they stick with. And a lot of my own life struggles, personally, I'm here. I have this inner sadness. I hate saying depression because it sounds so depressing, but it is. This quiet, nonchalant, default, low-key, color-coded, underneath the surface, soft, timid, melancholic, gray depression that I carry with me. And I haven't done some grieving in my own life to be able to accept things properly. So I can tell you about this one. Maybe some of you have felt it differently. We throw this word around depression like, you know, it's a bad thing. And sometimes it is, like, right? We get sad about the wrong shit, right? But it is real. It is real. Depression is real. Don't let people say that. There's like this stigma that it's not real, that you can just do push-ups or something and take yourself out of it. Like, it comes back. You do get out of it, but it comes back. You need to heal. You need to fucking heal. And you can't just have like a little fix-up of something. Can't just go out to a party. It'll work, but it's still there. Remember that. You need to heal from this depression. You need to sit with it longer. You need to observe it. Absolve it. I don't know enough because I haven't gone through it, so I couldn't lead you to the fifth and final stage. But I know that I need to be there longer. And maybe you do too. And you'd be able to name the things that have happened in your life. Name those instances that really caused you pain and brokenness. This is serious stuff, guys. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. The fifth and final stage is acceptance. And we all like to think we've arrived there, but we haven't. It's just, again, placating language and feeling good so that we can think we've accepted it, but we really haven't. Just sounds nice, because anyone can say, I've accepted my pain. I really have. I've moved on to a better place. And they're lying to themselves. They haven't done the work. They're just saying the work, right? It's like you think you're happy because you have nice clothes on and you took a shower and you sprayed perfume and you're smiling in the picture, but inside you're dying. But you look great if somebody saw it on Facebook, but you're not. So you didn't accept it. There's things that happen in our life, guys. And it's very important that we grieve through them, that we move through stages. And these are just stages from some academic peer review. You move through your stages. But when you can truly feel in your soul that joy comes your way and you can experience all of it, and there's not an ecking feeling of low self-worth and degradedness within you, when you truly feel like you're worthy and that you're enough and that joy belongs to you, and that you're okay the way you are, it's because you've fully accepted the things that have happened in your life and you've grieved through them properly. But when there's a brokenness and a glass object within you that keeps piercing, it's because there's work that needs to be done and there's healing that needs to happen. When shame is gone, grieving leaves as well. And I know for a lot of us, we haven't grieved appropriately whatever needed to be grieved. Acceptance is the fifth and final stage. It's making peace with it all. Don't lie to yourself that you've done the work when you know you haven't. Don't try to convince yourself that you're in the acceptance phase of the bad things that have happened in your life because you're smiling and laughing somewhere. Because that sadness, that depression, that inner knot will return. Do the work. Do the work. Grievance is work. Chasing the next shiny object isn't work. It's rather easy. But those who find true joy and fulfillment in life have done the work of inner grievance. Because bad things will happen to us no matter what, guys. And they'll happen to the ones you love as well. What does grieving look like practically? Man, we're all different, but It can look like talking to people in community. It could look like journaling, praying, meditation, taking yourself out by yourself. But not just going through the motions and the works, but actually having them work on you. Actually leaving a session and feeling like, I really do feel better. Actually doing some journaling, some writing, some reading, some reflecting, some beach, sunrise, sunset sessions by yourself, and actually feeling like, that did something to me. I feel so much better. I feel so much lighter. Don't live through this life, guys, denying things. Be honest. What hurts? What hurts? What causes pain? Where is the pain coming from? We try to blame people. We're responsible for our feelings, guys, no matter what sparks it off. We're responsible for everything that happens within us. What is happening within you? That, my friends, is a JA podcast, and I hope you enjoy it. And I love you, dear friend. I love you. And this one is close to me. And I hope that it served you and helped you with anything that you're going through and that you need to go through. All right. Day 5 of 7. Talk to you next time.